get ready, because at any minute, you know, something devastating could happen, but I believe God's going to take care of us. Now, he looks at death different than I do. I mean, although Lot and his wife were holy people, he also made a requirement. When you leave, don't look back. When you hear the bombs and the explosion and the fire that I'm going to destroy, don't look back. But his wife disobeyed. And she looked back, and did she die? Yes, she did. Boy, it killed her in a heartbeat. See, God's not a wishy-washy God. And he tells you to do something, he means what he says. So, but death, he doesn't look at death like we look at death. See, if you're his child, so you die, what happens to you? Oh, you get to go to heaven to be with the Lord. See, so do we get pretty attached to this piece of flesh? Do we? Oh, yeah. We get so attached to this thing, you know. But, you know, I've already realized that, hey, I ain't going to live forever. I may only live 200 or 300 years. I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I'm going to live till Jesus comes and gets me. But I'm going to live in faith and walk in faith. And I've already told Cheryl, she said, I want you and us both to go together in the rapture. Well, that would be ideal, you know, that we both go together in the rapture. But I told her, I said, if something were to happen to me and I was a fallout, I said, don't you call no doctor. Don't you call a doctor. I said, you can call some strong prayer warriors, and if they want to pray over me, but if the prayer warriors can't get me healed, then I ain't going to die in no hospital with an injection in my arm, guarantee. I ain't going to no doctor with my faith walk, because I don't want a doctor to kill me. I want Jesus to kill me. He's the one I want to kill me. I want him to take me home when he's ready. And so I'm going to love him and serve him. And as long as I'm here in the flesh, I'm going to take precautions to do everything. In other words, here's the thing to do. Living in terms of dying makes life much more dynamic. Stop and think about that. Living in terms of dying makes life more dynamic. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do different, Eric? Don't answer that. You don't have to. I'll give you time to think. But do you know what? Let's just put it this way. Let's say that God come to you and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Bill, I'm going to give you 6 more months, and then I'm going to bring you home. What would you do in the, next 6 months? Amen. Well, now let me tell you this. If you would live the best for the Lord, what if you're going to live 10 more years? Amen. That's the right answer. Is that what we should all do? We should be living our best for our Lord. Because he's the one who's going to give us a reward, whether we live another minute. You know, just like when my wife was 59 years old and my daughter was 24, and they got up here and left that morning going to Brownwood, Texas, I had no idea that in 2001, I had no idea that was going to be the last time I'd see those two girls alive. I had no clue that day was going to be their last on this earth. So see, none of us know that, do we? No, we don't know that. So we plan like you're going to be here a long time. But you may not be. So I'm going to plan. Cheryl said the other day, she said, what are you going to do with those groceries that we got stored up for all of us to eat if for this month? We got at least a month worth of groceries. She said, what if the Lord were to come take us all out? I said, there'd be some hungry critters that's going to be left. They'd need some groceries, so they'll be here. I ain't going to need them. But somebody's going to need them. And the Lord says, we store up for the poor, too. We have them. He says, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches. True humility and fear of God. You know, I think that's the major issue in the church today. The church today has no fear of God. No fear. We do what we want to do. And in other words, when I talk to a woman and she's a Christian, and I say, you know, please don't have an abortion. In fact, sometimes I talk to women that are married, and this is their fourth child, and they don't want it, and so they said, well, I'm going to go and have an abortion. I said, no, that's a sin. Don't kill it. And this is what blows me away. Thurman, this is my body. I'll do with it what I want to. I said, that's a lie. This is not your body. This body, if you're a Christian, it belongs to Jesus. And he died on the cross for your body. And it does not belong to you. You have no right to do or claim anything yourself. If you're a Christian, you belong to Jesus, and it's your obligation to study that word and do exactly what he says. Now, one of the women we talked minister to in Norway the other night, I had made the statement, I didn't go through a lot of scripture, but I made a statement that, when, like Ephesians 5 says, wives, you are to submit to your husbands in all things. And then husbands, you are to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Well, this one little lady, she waited till the very end. She was the last one. She came up and she said, Mr. Scrivener, you teach some things I don't agree with. I said, like what, since I teach the Word of God? She said, well, I don't agree with wives submitting to their husbands in all things. I said, honey, I didn't write the book. I said, you don't have a disagreement with me. You got a disagreement with God. She said, but what if my husband was a psychopath? I said, is your husband a psychopath? She said, well, no. I said, then I ain't going there with you, woman. I'm not going to try to lead you in a direction that's going to give you something that you might say, well, today he's a psychopath, so I don't have to obey him. I said, I ain't going to even discuss it with you. I said, if Jesus told you in the Word, you have to submit to your husband in all things, I said, that's what God said. I said, woman, if you want to have a good life, you're going to obey him. If you don't, you're going to have a miserable life. It's your choice. Isn't that amazing? But just like God said for the man, he said, husbands, you're to love your wife like I love the church. If you don't, I won't answer your prayer. And that's quite simple and clear, and I believe with all my heart. That's why so many men in the church today do not get their prayers answered, because they're not loving their wife like Christ loved the church. Isn't that something? I mean, you ain't going to find a woman nowhere that if she's got a man that loves her like Christ loved the church, there would never be a divorce in the church. It would not come to pass. It would never happen. But, you know, people think they're loving. You know, they don't even know what it means to love. True humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and a short life. Oh, it didn't say that. A long life. Now, see, this is an owner's manual, isn't it, Scott? So if this is an owner manual, we need to walk in true humility, don't we? We need to walk in true humility and fear of the Lord, because it leads to riches. Now then, let me ask you this question. I know nobody in here would like to have money but me. Anybody like to have any riches? I think all of you would like to have some riches, wouldn't you? I mean, if I were to say today before y'all go home, y'all stop at the back door and I'm going to give each one of you $100,000 in gold today before y'all go, would anybody come show up? Ah, I thought so. Okay, I just wondered. I could just see it now. Say, okay, I'm going to give everybody that comes by the back door $100,000 in gold bullion. Just stop by and get it. And they say, ah, he's lying. I don't believe it. I'm just going home. That's what probably some of you would say, you know. But you wouldn't. You'd get yours, would you, Scott? I wish I had $100,000 worth of gold to give each one of you. If I just had $100,000 of gold, I'd share it with you. But I don't have $100,000 in gold. But anyway, it says, a true humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. And, I mean, you don't have to have $100,000 of gold to be rich. You know, you can have all your needs met. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I mean, I worked as an engineer, and, of course, I never had a lot of money in the bank. I had a little in the money bank. But the way I looked at it, if I had the money to make my house payment every month, pay my utilities every month, and buy our groceries and everything, pay all the insurance, and then had a few dollars left over to play with, I was in good shape. That's the way I looked at it. I didn't need $1 million in the bank to say I'm in good shape. If God was meeting all of my needs every month, and I got a little left over every month, and I'm still healthy to enjoy it, then I must be meeting his requirements. Because he said, it leads to riches, so I'm rich. All my payments are made. I'm not behind on nothing. And of course, you know, by not being behind and making those payments, it wasn't long till everything I had was paid off. And now then, for the last, well, I guess at least 25 or 30 years, I don't know, at least 20 years, I haven't had any payments of no kind. You know, I don't buy anything and make payments on it. If I need a car, you know, first of all, now, and where I'm at now, I just ask God, Lord, if I need a car, and he gives me one. If I need an airplane, I'd say, Lord, I need an airplane. He gives me one. I mean, that's the best way in the world to have it. you know, and it's so blessed to be able to have those kind of things. But if when I was working, if I needed a car, I'd always pray and ask God to provide me the car, and then I'd start saving up my money, and when I got $5,000 or whatever I thought I was going to spend for a car, I said, okay, Lord, I got the $5,000, now you need to bring me the car. And within a month or so, he would bring me the exact perfect car for that $5,000. And so I drove nice cars, didn't drive new ones, but I drove nice ones, you know, something that was 6, 8, 10 years old. And I was always able to pay them, and I had plenty of money left over. And now he said, then you have honor and long life, verse 5 and 6. The deceitful walk a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life will stay away from them. The deceitful. If you find somebody that's deceitful, how far should you stay away from them? Long way. Don't go out and invite them to dinner to your house every night. You know, you don't want that kind of friends. Now, you can pray for those people. Once they get saved and changed, then you can invite them over to your house for dinner. But don't be around people that are deceitful. Because he said, the deceitful walk a thorny, treacherous road, and whoever values life will stay away from them. Because you never know, you might be somewhere where one of these people were, these deceitful people, and let's just say one of the places, say a guy's very deceitful, and he's running around on his wife and doing all these things, and he wants this is a man I'm talking about, and he wants you to go down to the bar on Monday night and hang out with him and watch Monday night football, and you go down there, and this guy has got across the grain with somebody, and a guy walks in, and he don't like him, and he starts a fight or whatever, and you're there with him, and all of a sudden the guy pulls out a gun and shoots him, and you get killed too. Hey, stay away from them kind of people. You know, stay out of the bars. You know, stay out of the places like that. But the deceitful, they walk a thorny, treacherous road, and whoever values life will stay away. Then he says, teach your children to choose the right path. Now, this is when the King James says, train up your child in the way they should go, and when they're older, will not depart from it. But in the NLT, it says, teach your children to choose the right path, and when they're older, they will remain upon it. So far, everything we've been talking about down through this verse 5 has had something to do with money, hasn't it?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Side Effects from Deliverance, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.